Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You are listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. Today is a very special edition because I am not alone. Typically, it's either you hear my voice or Nzinga's voice on the show, but tonight we decided to tag team.
Double trouble.
Right? What's one business presenter when you can have two? Fundamentally, Nzinga, Kunta and I are standing in and hosting the show for you to give you updates as well on outcomes and conversations that we've had at the B20. Mm-hmm. Nzinga, you're no stranger to companies like Old Mutual and their contribution to the country and the economy. But tonight we're also going to speak to someone who plays a critical role here within the leading the human capital as well as strategic oversight of Old Mutual.
Kwaliwe Ross, thank you so much for your time on Kaya Biz this evening.
Thank you, Nzinga. Thank you so much for having me. And Kuku as well. Kuku, you were amazing on stage today. It is quite something to carry a room as large as what was happening at the B20. Much appreciation for the work that you've done. It's country duty too. So, well done.
Country duty. Anyway, just take us through Old Mutual's role at the B20 and your insights from today.
Yeah, what a day. I just think... The reflection I woke up with this morning in my own quiet time as I was preparing to attend B20 was, I don't know that we always realize what is happening. It sounds simple, but this is a once in a generation opportunity. It's not going to happen in our lifetime again that this gathering happens on our home soil. And I think it became real when I went and collected my delegate tag, but also met a number of leaders in different sessions that I was sitting in, like, hey, I'm Kwaliwe, nice to meet you. Who are you? Where do you come from? So many people from outside South Africa, from the kind of global corporations, but also, like, I think super influential people, individuals, organizations who've chosen to prioritize this opportunity. Mm-hmm. And it really made me think. So I think it's been important to realize that this is significant. Mm-hmm. It's more significant than the flyers outside the Sandton Convention Center. It's significant because it's happening on home soil and the conversations that are happening in the room at the same time. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest takeaway as well for me was just like delving really into the 8 work streams and the work that they've done, but also the individuals that were involved in carrying forward the work that was done at the previous B20, bringing it forward here at home to this B20, and then the recommendations, not just to the G20, but to the next gathering, to make sure that these insights are actionable, that they're practical, but they're also continuous from the previous B20 gatherings. I think that's important. Oftentimes, when you have gatherings like these, people think they must come up with new stuff and new problems that need to be solved, whereas I think continuity is also important, just so that you embed the change and also that you ensure that there is continuous implementation of the things that we say are important. So the workstream leads have done a phenomenal job. If you go and read just the recommendations that came out of the workstreams, like crazy, and also the people that were involved, many of them gathering remotely, they've got big day jobs, hey? So the fact that they were spending their time having conversations about trade, about education, about employment, about financial markets, about digital transformation, etc. Like, I think it's really, really significant.
Okay.
I'm so glad you mentioned it. So you can see, I'm like all excited because one key theme that also comes through in terms of the sustainability of the recommendations from the task forces is the fact that this is Africa's perspective now, representing the global South. And I'm quite keen, Kwaliwe, to hear from your point of view as well. Old Mutual is a leader in the insurance space across the continent. So you really have a bird's eye view of how different markets operate, but how there is still this level of unison and camaraderie right across the continent. What makes these recommendations different from an African lens point of view and the kind of impact that we could still have globally?
Yeah, for sure. I found especially the panel discussions and the keynotes that followed after lunch very much focused not only on implementation but on the reality of the African continent. I had the privilege and pleasure of listening to conversations on mining mineral wealth but also converting our mineral wealth on the continent to be able to solve continental challenges, particularly in telecommunications. Yes. If you consider our continental endowment in platinum group metals, in copper, in cobalt, these are ingredients that are important in the manufacturer of not just mobile devices, but also all sorts of ICT devices as well. So how do we start to create access to data centers, access to devices and technology that is really about helping Africa be the center of solving those problems for the world? Similarly, from a financial perspective and a financial access perspective, I think Sim Shabalala did a brilliant job today. He always does. He challenges how the world views us, views the continent, views South Africa, and how there's almost a tax for where we are, just in terms of our ability to be able to raise capital and to be able to access financial markets in a less punitive way, just because of who we are and where we are. So super practical and also applicable to our market and our continent and our own people. And I think these are like footsteps in the sand that are going to make a difference even after the B20 is over. And so it was really interesting to start to think about things like those. And then something I must say that I'm personally quite it's late. English is running out. But something that I'm personally quite passionate about is this intersection of human capital and technology, particularly in the advent of AI and the disruption that we're all facing. Mm. And the last session that we spoke about, again, was very practical about the role of leadership, the role of education, and the role of technology service providers in solving this problem in an African way. Mm. And how do we create the solutions that are important for us? In fact, Serame Taukobong, who's the CEO of Telkom, raise an example. He said that Google Pay looks really sexy. Now everybody loves it and we're all paying with our phones. But really, M-Pesa started that revolution. It's an African solution that has been scaled by a global company. And how do we start to make that appropriate? And someone was also raising, I think it was Fred Swanika actually, who said it, that Silicon Valley is using AI to solve like ice cream problems, the problems of affluence. Whereas in Africa, we need to leverage AI to solve African problems, to solve problems of infrastructure, of healthcare, of education, like real life problems that we can leverage technology to solve. So it's been super impactful for us from an African perspective.
Kaluwe, you've been speaking about the impact of B20, the significance of this event, and the word access kept on coming up. If I'm listening on the radio on my way home or at home, and I'm thinking about the solutions and how you've said that there's an African voice, it's a uniquely African time and opportunity. How do you add your voice to this global conversation that's happening?
Yeah, so I think for us, certainly from Old Mutual, that has been the push. We realize that our seat in the B20 is one of very few, relatively, when you consider it from a South African or an African perspective. So it's a privilege. It's a privilege of access. It's a privilege of having the ability to be able to influence certain outcomes just because of who we are and the access that we have. So the thinking from our organizational perspective has been, how do we democratize the access that we have? How do we elevate the opportunity that we have to make sure that more South Africans can participate? Because it's happening on African soil, but more importantly on South African soil. And so how do we make sure that the voices of South Africans are heard? If I looked around the room today, yes, lots of industry leaders, lots of global leaders, great conversation. But the average South African also has to realize that there's an opportunity here for the conversations that are happening in the Sandton Convention Center, but also to be able to elevate the challenge of real and average South African people. Yes. And those challenges are consistent across the continent, but I think they're really pertinent in our own home market. Things like, I loved conversations just about SMEs, access to SMEs, SMEs as job creation agents, SMEs as enablers and implementers of AI, because they don't have all the tools and they don't have the scale necessarily. So how do they leverage and build that? It provides access and linkages into youth and the youth population and how they can have access to the conversations that they are. I was looking around and I was like, we need more young people to hear the conversations that are happening here. So all we've done as Old Mutual is just used our seat to multiply it amongst the 50, 60 million South Africans that we have and said, here, use our seat, use our voice to add yours. Be able to share what your context is, what your challenge is, and how can we share that? And ideally, crossing thumbs and fingers and toes tomorrow, we're hoping to be able to consolidate all of those comments that we've received from the many South Africans who've leveraged the opportunity and be able to share them with our nation's president, who's hopefully going to be here tomorrow.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that, where he will be participating in just receiving feedback, not only on the back of the recommendations, but the outcomes that have also been shared.
For sure.
Something that also speaks to a key need, anyway, and I'm glad you've mentioned it in terms of adding your voice, is also how we as South Africans continue to take these conversations conversations going forward. Mm. Right? Because it's one thing to have this as a once-off event
100%.
In the middle of 20 or at the end of 2025, but there also needs to be some level of momentum. And I say this because the world does continue and carry on.
100%.
Next year we have municipal elections in South Africa. Tomorrow it's all about interest rates. We'll be looking forward to seeing what global growth and local growth looks like. But all the while, we still need to make sure that, you know, we grow wealth, we upskill ourselves, we participate in the economy, we are innovative entrepreneurs. Mm. And I'm keen for us to actually understand how we inculcate that culture in us as South Africans as well.
Yeah. So I think that the effort has to be both individual and collective to make sure that happens. Whether it's organizational or individual people, we have to think about how we scale and democratize the conversations that have happened here. But I think it has to be collective so that it's impactful. What do I mean by that? If I look at our own organization, we have to think about what comes out of here that's really critical to the focus areas and the strategic focus areas that we are starting to develop. I was sitting in a session where Microsoft was sharing their approach to AI and the development of SMEs in the continent. Mm-hmm. And they shared a partnership that they've embarked on with the African Development Bank in that regard. So for me, again, it's about saying, well, like SME capability and capacitation is really actually important to us at Old Mutual. I know that the CEO of our social investment group, yes, Ndumiso Zulu, was on Kai FM this week talking about the work that we do with entrepreneurs, recognizing that SMEs are the employers of the future. They are the disruptors of the future, the innovators of the future, and the scaled innovators of the future. So how do we create opportunities for SMEs to be able to scale themselves? How do we support them? Not just in financing. I think sometimes financing seems it's the easy solution, but actually they need access to more things to be able to become the next employers, the next kind of transformers of industry. So how do we start to say, okay, Microsoft and AFDB, how do we partner with you, as example? I think the only way that we can start to continue the conversations that have started at B20 but need to continue is to think about, firstly, what is organizationally important to us? What are the strategic drivers that we are focusing on that might be different to other organizations who are sponsoring the B20? And then how do we partner together to be able to multiply the impact of these things? We can't do it alone. Old Mutual can't do it alone. No organization can do it on its own. So how do we partner to create scale across the African continent and continue these conversations? I think the African continent is not just about like great storytelling and great innovation. Mm-hmm. It actually is very much about agency. Mm-hmm. It's ingrained in who we are as Africans. If you think about the colonized nations of Africa who had to fight for their own freedom, that came from the voice of African people. It came from the strength and the collective wisdom of African people. So how do we continuously tap into that to say it matters?
Mm. I'm glad that you touched on that. I want to emphasize the aspect of the individual. Mm. You are someone who takes care of human capital within Old Mutual, which means that right down from the individual who earns a minimum of, 21,000 rand a month as a basic entry salary, to executives, you evaluate the culture, the lessons that are learned and upskilling that takes place in the organization. Sure. We do live in a population that does have high levels of unemployment, but even for some of us who are employed, many South Africans have experienced what a Section 189 is, right? And retrenchment. And I think that also is very telling about how we also need to upskill ourselves.
For sure.
In an earlier panel, one of the speakers put it as the statement as never graduating.
Yes.
You're just evolving and always learning.
Correct.
What does that look like from your observations of the workforce, given that you look after so many within a group like Old Mutual, but also someone in yourself, you started off in engineering and look at you in financial services
for sure. And I mean, I'm also a mom. Interestingly, my eldest son is in the middle of exams this week, and I was saying to him, like, I sent him a prayer by WhatsApp, and I was just saying to him, the importance of exams is actually to demonstrate the ability to learn. It's to demonstrate the ability to show that I've learned something. I've applied my mind to a problem. And taking it back to the conversations here at B20, but also I think organizationally for us at Old Mutual, but actually for all organizations, everybody's talking about like failing fast, unlearning and relearning. But what I loved was someone was talking about the fact that your ability to retain learning has started to shorten over time. Mm-hmm. And so what we start to capacitate our minds with has to be about understanding what the next problem to solve is. Like being fascinated about the ability to learn about change, to learn about disruption, to learn about about the fact that actually it doesn't matter what I study. Like you said, it's not about graduating. I'm not saying people shouldn't go to university. Please don't get me wrong. It's important. It's not that. I think it's really about understanding that any level of education that you undergo, whether it's formal education, education in the workplace, that's kind of work-based, it is about learning to learn, loving to learn. And when you learn how to learn, you actually are fascinated by problems you get to solve. I mean, you mentioned I'm an engineer by background. And so I suppose my mind is geared towards problem solving and understanding the inputs into certain things and then how these things interact with each other and then what the outputs are. It's an approach to problem solving. It's not the only approach. There are many. You will have many based on your own background. But I think the leadership challenge that we're all facing, not just in our own context as Old Mutual, but I think it's a global leadership context that we're all facing, is how do we help people appreciate the need to learn? Yeah. And AI is giving us that opportunity. I think technology, but specifically AI, is giving us that opportunity. Because if you get the productivity gains of partnering with AI, whether it's whatever tool that you use in your organization or in your personal life, the question becomes, what do you do with the time you get back? And what are you learning? What is it that you're teaching yourself? Even in partnering with AI and technology, you're learning something new. It's working differently. In our workplace, we're a Microsoft client, so we use Copilot. In my personal life, I actually love Perplexity as a tool. And so it's also been about, like, how am I using this to help me solve problems? My husband and my son, my eldest son, I have two boys, but my eldest son and my husband go on a boys' weekend every year at the end of the school term. They're going next weekend. And it's been a congested November, and I actually used Perplexity to develop their itinerary. I mean, he has to phone all the different service providers for all the crazy stuff that they do that mom cannot be there for, because I would write a lot of it off. But I think it is, it's just been a gain. It's like, okay, so at least now we have an agenda. So you boys must now decide how you do it. You goes go and pay and do what you need to do. And I think the welcoming of the realization that we need to find a way of partnering with the sort of tech. And for me, it's not just about productivity. It's about allowing yourself to learn how to do your role differently. Whether your role is mom, whether your role is executive, whether your role is chef, there are just so many use cases for how you learn to partner, how you learn to do things differently in the work that you're blessed to do.
Just want to come back to the how Old Mutual is thinking about citizen-centered policy decisions. And saying, because of our context as a country, I imagine there's been exclusion, systematic exclusion.
For sure.
And so you want to do inclusion by intent. This all feels very airy-fairy. And I'm feeling really good in this conversation. I'm looking at us, I'm like, there's three black women, you know, in the middle of Sandton Convention Center.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, Old Mutual is also a company that needs to make money.
Yeah.
You want to provide a value for your shareholders. So how do you balance those very, like, woo-woo things that we're discussing with also the need to be quite clinical about decisions you take?
Look, earlier today, there was an address by one of our biggest competitors in South Africa and across the continent, from Sanlam, Thava Mazinga, and he was talking about the role of financial services, but also the role of insurance. And just to bring it home, like, I don't think that financial services or insurance can exist without understanding that it's there to solve societal problems. Of course, you have to make money. We've got shareholders, etc. That is the outcome. Yeah. But we actually exist to solve a societal problem. So oftentimes people contact their insurer not because they have great news. Either a geyser has burst, a car has crashed, a family member has passed away, something has gone wrong. And there's a trust that they have in that I've given you, I've invested in you, I've paid a premium every month, I've given you something. Give me something in return in the moment that I need you most. And so our ability to make money from that, so there's a shared, I think there's like a shared value transaction that exists in that, both with customers, with institutions, and with communities that we serve. And when the opportunity to be profitable comes from that place, I think that it happens by its very nature. It happens automatically. We exist to serve. We have to. Our 12 million customers across the continent have trusted us with a promise. They can't touch it. They might be transferring money every month or whatever, but they actually can't touch it. It's a promise. It's trust. And our role is just to fulfill that trust and to meet them in their moment of need. And the money follows from there.
Mm-hmm.
100%. Kaliwe, I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. I cannot wait for tomorrow is day two. Minimal sleep, but lots of excitement. Cool.
Well done. Thank you for all you're doing. And I think like it's been an exceptional experience for the first day. Just realizing the potential of our country and our continent when we put our minds to it.
Yeah.
It's amazing what has happened over the first day. And as we continue even into G20 this weekend, may it be equally successful and may the conversations be equally even more impactful.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Kaliwe Ross, Chief Human Capital and Corporate Affairs Officer at Old Mutual, joining us as we are live from the Sandton Convention Center, where the B20 is taking place. I think very few radio stations have the host of the B20 studio announcing us. We'll be back in just a moment here on Kaya Biz.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.